Hello, Dale Partridge here. You're listening to an episode from the Real Christianity Archive. Veronica and I originally began this podcast under the name Ultimate Marriage as a resource for our online marriage mentor program found at ultimatemarriage.com. While our marriage program is still a critical part of our ministry, after about 30 episodes, we decided to change the name of this podcast to Real Christianity as a way to widen the scope of our biblical content. That said, these are some of our most popular episodes, so please enjoy and stay with us on the journey to bring the church back to the Bible. Welcome to Ultimate Marriage, a weekly show designed to replace the lies culture has told us about marriage and family with the raw truth found in the Bible. The premise is simple. Divorce is rising, families are falling, and the culture and even the church seems to be more confused than ever. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to have a Christian marriage. Welcome to another episode of Ultimate Marriage. Today, we're going to be talking about
how to walk with your wife through fear, trials, and tribulation,
which we know nothing about. You guys are going to hear our story. And I'm not talking like our story like months or years ago, but the story we're walking through
currently. Yeah.
And so
some of it. Yeah.
Some of it. So hopefully you'll get a chance to, peer into our lives a little bit. Guys, real quick, just if you're new to the podcast, a couple things I want to just tell you guys about. One is that if you're listening to this as an audio podcast, just know that this is also a video podcast on YouTube. And if you're watching this on YouTube, just make sure that you know that this is an audio podcast. So those are available at ultimatemarriage.com. You can just go to the podcast section. You can watch the video, listen to the audio, download it, get all the verses that we talk about today, all the quotes and everything, all the links, everything is available for you guys there. Another quick thing I wanted to mention is, again, thank you guys so much for the reviews. They really are important to the exposure of the show and getting God's truth out into the world. And so if you guys haven't left a review yet, please, would you leave a review? All you have to do is in the iTunes app is just tap the 5 stars, if you give us 5 stars. And you don't need to write anything. Don't even write anything. Just tap the stars. That's all we're asking for, and it really does help our exposure. Veronica is actually going to open up a little bit about this past month, especially, and just kind of open up the session of what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. So if you guys have followed us on social media, then you already know a lot of the stuff that we've recently been walking through. But I'll just tell you a little bit about it. So on July 31st, we had a miscarriage. This was our second miscarriage. We've had one before several years ago. We had a miscarriage.
A little bit later term in terms of 11 weeks, which is pretty far for a miscarriage.
And we went ahead and miscarried at home. I did not need to have any other medical intervention, which was an answer to prayer. And overlapping that, the miscarriage, the same week, the same day I found out about the miscarriage, I noticed a strange bug bite on my leg. And it was really itching, but obviously with the weight of the miscarriage, my mind was somewhere else. Several days later, it just was looking worse and more nasty. And Dale was like, babe, that's not a mosquito bite. Cause I just kept brushing it off. It was just a mosquito bite. He's like, no, that's something more. And then, a few days later, I was like, yeah, you're right. This isn't a mosquito bite. This is definitely something else. Anyway, it turns out that bug bite was a bite from some type of insect that happened to carry Lyme disease. And so I'm currently on 21 days. I'm on like day 15 of 21 days of antibiotics, 3 times a day.
Fight
off the Lyme disease. Yeah. So that's been pretty intense.
Because she's having joint pain and headaches and all types of other stuff that come along with lots of antibiotics for long periods of time. And so with three kids and on top of the miscarriage, I mean, this has just been brutal.
Yeah. Well, and with the antibiotics, a lot of times you get side effects from those, obviously. But when you actually have contracted a disease, I mean, I feel weird even saying that, but when you actually have contracted a disease, it actually can magnify your symptoms. Mm-hmm. So like you said, with the joint pain mm-hmm. and the headaches, those have been pretty intense and mm-hmm. nausea, whatever else. So that's what we're currently walking through right now. And then just a few nights ago, mm-hmm. At 3 a.m. I woke up and I was like, oh man, my side hurts really bad. And so I got up and I went to the restroom and Dale like gets up out of bed and follows me in there. And I'm like, what are you
doing? She doesn't go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Well, and, he never does that. He never, I don't go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. But yeah, even if I did, you don't typically like get up and follow me in. You just assume that I'm going to the bathroom. Anyway, he's like, what's wrong? What's going on? I was just like, nothing. I'm going to the bathroom and my side hurts. And so he walked back to the room. And then when I walked in there, he's like standing up. Like, what's going on? What's wrong? And I was like, my side just hurts really bad. I don't know.
And she's got chills, so she's shaking.
Yeah, and I started like shivering and getting the chills. And I'm very much the type of person that's like, just it's fine, it's fine. Let's just ignore it. It's not a big deal. But anyway, Dale pulled out his handy dandy trusty Google.
Yep.
And WebMD and Googled a couple things and he's like, babe, this might be appendicitis. And honestly, I was already thinking that in my head because I've never had this kind of pain before in my side, but I didn't want to acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as he said that, I just kind of got up out of bed and he's like, we got to go to the emergency room just in case. Turns out it wasn't appendicitis. Chances are it was likely maybe could have been the start of appendicitis, but because I'm already on antibiotics, it was killing it. But I did have the ultrasound and CT,
which showed a little bit of inflammation on her appendix.
Yeah, it did show that the appendix was inflamed. And we spoke with the surgeon and he was just like, yeah, he's like, it's an inflamed appendix, but I don't think you have an appendicitis. And I don't think surgery is necessary.
Yeah. So guys, this is like, we've been walking through back to back. Prior to that, the skin cancer scar that's still on my face, if you're watching the video, that happened a couple weeks before the miscarriage. And then prior to that, we had, you know, our son was diagnosed with asthma. And prior to that, we were fighting illness back and forth for several months. I mean, this has been a year of trials for us. And so, you know, the social media feed can look great, you know, but we've been navigating through deep waters, not, you know, the windless, flat seas. That's not been our life the last year and especially the last month. So I wanted to talk about that and just kind of share our journey, the things that we're learning as a couple, the things that I'm learning as a husband, and how to walk with your wife through these fears, these trials, and these tribulations. And, you know, it's funny. This all started actually, these trials started the same week we went into full-time ministry. And so we definitely correlate it with a spiritual attack. Now I don't want to throw that, like everything under that umbrella. Mm-hmm. I want to be sober-minded about that, but, that's something we've definitely, felt like. And, so today's focus again is just on the past 30 days, and I've had to work on encouraging her and empathizing with her and supporting her and pointing her back to the truth and to Christ in these times. And I think it's something that, that every husband has to know how to do mm-hmm. at some point or another. And men, we have to realize that if the enemy can't get to you for some reason, because you're so strong in your faith and you have the armor of God on, he's going to go after your wife. And if he can't go after your wife, he's going to go after your kids. And that's what happens. So strengthening our home as a responsible father and husband is really important. It's a really important skill to have as a man. And every husband's going to walk through this at some capacity, whether it's a new baby that's born, whether that's anxiety or a depression that your wife might be walking through for a season, whether that's, mom just gets the flu, right? And just goes down for a couple, you know, days or a week or two. It could be a death in the family. Whatever it is, we're going to have this issue to face as husbands and wives. And this is a discipline that the Christian husband needs to know how to do. as husbands, you know, how are we called to behave? How are we called to practically walk this stuff out as a Christian husband? And we're going to be talking about what that looks like in these circumstances to do that. And even sharing from our own story, which Veronica will share.
Yeah. So for me, like I mentioned just briefly earlier, when something like this comes up, if I'm sick or if I'm in pain or if I'm just, you know, one thing after another, and I'm just overwhelmed, I tend to just kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. I don't like to verbally say anything because it actually makes it more real to me. I feel like if I just ignore it, it'll eventually go away. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, yeah, I'll just kind of stay quiet. And there's a scripture that Dale references quite often. You've probably heard him say it in the podcast, and if not, you've maybe heard him say it online, but it says in Proverbs 18:1, a person who isolates themselves seeks their own desire. And what I'm realizing after walking through this so frequently, and me just wanting to not say anything and don't acknowledge the pain or don't acknowledge that I'm not feeling well, is actually seeking my own desire, which is denial.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that's something that as a husband, you know, I'm still learning. And guys, if you're watching the video version, there's a fly.
There's a fly that keeps landing on his cup.
Keeps landing on my cup, and I'm going to fight it to the death, and I will win after the show. But yeah, this is why as a husband, I kind of want to preface this lesson with a couple things. One is that we need to recognize, know our wives and how they walk through trials. We need to be gentle. We need to be sensitive. We need to be curious. Like, hey, what's going on? Like, I ask Veronica that probably every day. Like, hey,
yeah,
how you doing?
And he knows that also that if I'm actually verbalizing something, like my elbows are actually just really hurting me really bad right now, then that's something that's been happening for a while. And yeah, it has to hurt bad enough for me to say something.
Yeah.
And I'm also working on just being clear and getting better at saying something before it's a worse issue.
Yeah. And guys, you also, a couple of things, don't talk to your wife the way that you would talk to another brother or another man. That's just don't do that. You actually have to talk to her in a different way. Be curious in a different way. You have to change that kind of behavior in us to walk that way through those trials. And so, we have to remember again, we're one flesh. You know, you approach her incorrectly and you hurt her, you hurt you, because you're one flesh. You walk appropriately with her, and you help heal her through God's truth and through pushing her closer to Christ. Then you heal her, you heal you. We're one flesh. And so I'm going to give you guys just two scriptures today that really we've walked through, I've personally leaned on as a man, and two concepts that I think are really important for us. And because this is, you know, the husbands, I'll probably talk a little bit more than Veronica today, but she'll be chiming in here periodically.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Dale and I want to quickly tell you about one of our favorite things to do with other couples, marriage retreats.
Yeah, a few times per year, Veronica and I host 15 couples at a private resort here in the Pacific Northwest. We spend 3 days learning about the Bible and having an intimate discussion time. It is a ton of fun.
The best part is it's an all-inclusive event. Every couple gets their own cozy cabin and fireplace. We have a private chef cooking incredible food and desserts, and a variety of activities available for couples to just have fun with each other.
Yeah, we can't tell you how life-changing these retreats have been for couples. So as you can tell, these retreats have very limited space. But if you're interested in spending a few days with us in the mountains here in Oregon, then please apply for one of our upcoming retreats. Just go to ultimatemarriage.com/retreat. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com/retreat. Now let's get back to the show. I want to read this scripture, but first thing I want to talk about is that the first thing is vision. We have to have vision in these circumstances. And what I mean by that is that we have to train our wives and our families and ourselves even, but train our wives and our families to view trials the way that scripture views trials. And so again, we're conforming our minds to the truth, the word of God. We have to view trials the way that scripture views trials. And so these two passages that I put together that are about trials, you've probably heard them before. We're going to read them and I'm going to break them down for you guys. James 1, 2 through 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Okay, so a couple things. Joy. Have joy in your trials. Veronica's laughing at this fly.
I can't get over it. Sorry. I'm trying not to laugh.
It's okay. And so joy doesn't mean that we have to be cavalier about our trials. Like that we have to kind of, you know, like have joy through it. Like you're almost denying the reality of the trial. That's not what that scripture means. It's talking about to have an eternal perspective on trials. That's what we're called to have as Christians, to have eternal perspective on trials. And the result of trials is that it strengthens our faith. Now, our faith as Christians is the most important thing you have. Okay, it's the most important thing that you have is your faith in Christ. And a trial, according to scriptures, strengthens that. And so when you have an eternal perspective, when you have a biblical perspective, you can look at your trials as instruments of creating and strengthening the most precious thing that you own, that you have, that is yours, and that is your faith. And when you realize that, it actually really helps you walk through that. So I think that's what he's talking about. We'll talk a little bit more about what that means here.
Yeah. So I would say that, like, when you're walking through a trial and you're experiencing pain and suffering, immediately your focus gets pulled inward and you start looking at yourself.
Yeah. Your flesh.
Your flesh. And you, so spouses need to constantly be reminding each other of the eternal value in the trial.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if you don't have that eternal value, what it does is, again, so you have a pain and you just immediately start focusing on yourself. Actually, we were over at our friend's house tonight, and we were talking about how we're just going through some of these afflictions, and Veronica cooked this giant meal for our friends that just had a baby, had their fourth baby. And we delivered that meal over to them. And my friend Aaron said, "You know, I think servanthood is one of the greatest ways to overcome a trial. It's because it takes the focus off of you and it puts it onto something else. God's work for you. Prayer, again, takes it off of you and focuses on God. The truth, it does that as well. And so additionally, that scripture, I want to read it again just because it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But patience, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So this is saying that trials are actually a part of spiritual completion, that you actually need to look at that suffering will somehow make us more like Christ. It's a very difficult concept to understand, but we got to remember that Christ chose to go to the cross. He chose to go to the cross. And if we want to be like Christ, we know that we will suffer. We know that we will have trials. We are living in a broken world. And secondly, I wanted to say a woman's ability to stand in her trials is actually a really great evidence of the authenticity and the reality of her faith. Even more so than a man's, in my opinion, because a man can walk through trials and kind of logic his way through them, can actually stuff things down. You actually see this. Men have a unique ability in war to, week after week, month after month, year after year, can fight and see terrifying things over and over and over. And that's just not biologically generally true for a woman, because they see things through their emotional lens. So when a woman can actually take control of her emotions through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the truth of God, it's a big deal to other women. It's a big deal for her to represent Christ in that trial to other women, in comparison to maybe a man who's kind of stuffing it or ignoring it or denying it or logically, you know, pushing himself through that.
Yeah, I would say, like, we have to remember as Christians that our public fear and worry can diminish our Christian witness.
Yeah.
Not just women, men and women, our public fear can diminish our Christian witness. And the Bible says that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but he gives us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So as Christians, we have hope.
Yep.
We have hope to the truth that is found in the word.
Yep.
To God's promises. Christians, we can suffer in hope.
Yeah. This is a big deal. We can suffer in hope. And yeah, when you're walking in fear and anxiety and worry and people are watching you and you call yourself a Christian, people are going, okay, so wait, what? Where's your God? Now, not saying that you don't get to have.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like, don't think that like I'm this perfect person that I don't struggle with these things, because yeah, I've definitely had moments of fear the past several weeks and anxiety and we all experience these things, especially when you just found out that you've got a disease or cancer or whatever it is that you have going on. But it's so important to allow your spouse to speak those truths into your life. Mm-hmm. Because we need to be reminded of those things, because when we're walking through those trials, you're so inward focused. Yep. Although I try very hard to, I like to think that I'm not inward focused because I just shut down. I don't say anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when you're facing physical pain and trials, you are, that you're thinking about those things. And so as your spouse, you need to allow them to speak that into you.
Well, and you can have pain without fear. You can have pain and difficulty without worry. Now these are things to master over a lifetime. And, you know, I don't think Christ was afraid or worrisome. I think he stood there in perfect understanding of, I'm going to walk out God's plan for my life, which is to go to the cross. And so I think we just need to realize that our job is to make sure that when people are watching us, our kids are watching us, that we can walk through with hope. We can walk through these things with joy. Does not diminish the pain. Mm-hmm. It does not diminish the difficulty. One thing that I often say is that the difficulty of obedience doesn't remove the duty of obedience. And we need to remember that.
Yeah, we still need to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Regardless of our circumstances. And this just reminds me, this is a scripture I try and have memorized as best as I can, so I may butcher it a little bit, but it's one that I remind myself of so often. In Philippians, it says, do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become harmless, blameless children of God, that you may shine, or in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, so that you may shine as lights in the world. So anyway, that's a paraphrased version.
Exactly.
But it's.
People are watching.
Yeah.
People are watching. So this next scripture we're going to talk about is Romans 5:3-5. This is another just discussion on trials. So the first one is written by James. This one's written by Paul. And he says, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. All right. That's a pretty thick theological piece of scripture right there. I'm going to try to break that down a little bit. The sufferings we endure are an advertisement of Christ's power in us. Okay. The sufferings that we endure are the power of Christ in us. And so I try to constantly help Veronica recognize that. Now she does this with me as well. But, you know, when she's walking through these trials, I'm just reminding her, oh gosh, like, remember what these trials do for us. Remember that the Lord has a plan for us. And we've been doing these Instagram posts and sharing our story and just sharing just Veronica's posture in these things. She did that post about her and her friend who had the baby in the midst of her having the miscarriage. And what it is again, it's advertising the power that Christians have in the midst of trials that the world doesn't have. They're hopeless when they walk that way. It's a very sad thing. And so this is why it says in that scripture, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. We don't glory because of our own ability to get through these trials. We glory because Christ has given us the ability to get through these trials. And that's something to glory in. It's Christ's power in us. And James and Paul are obviously aligned in this scripture because they both talk about trials are for refining. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to Veronica about what are we learning? And she does this with me too. Like, what are we learning here? Like, why does God have us here? Why is God allowing these things to happen to us? We know that God doesn't cause these things for us, but has allowed these things to happen to us. Like, why is this going on? They're refining for us. And if you don't realize that, then your trials as a Christian, as a couple, whatever you walk through, they're going to just be like meaningless sufferings. And that is not the biblical perspective to have on trials. And with this perspective, you know, and I talked to Veronica about this, Veronica talks to me about this, but we walk through as a couple that we can have hope in these trials and hope that, you know, God works together all things for good for those who love him. We can have hope in that. And even if it means death, we can have hope in that, that our story would be used for the refining of faith of others. We are building our testimony as we are walking through these trials, for even trials that are coming, even in the future.
Yeah, this year's trials, because of our biblical perspective and because of our faith, I think that our faith is pretty strong. It's actually strengthened us. It hasn't weakened us. Where earlier on in our marriage, I feel like when things would come our way earlier on in our marriage, we'd almost get like defensive or something, even though it wasn't necessarily either one of our faults. We'd just be like, we'd almost like butt heads more. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see our union as like a team.
Yeah.
And so,
a trial would like emphasize these like anger points or defensiveness or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah, angst. And walking through those trials earlier on in our marriage has actually made us more mature. Mm-hmm. And so it's helped us to walk through our current trials in maturity. And our territory to minister has actually grown.
Totally. I mean, this has been a huge thing, is that we've walked some pretty hard stuff the last 10 years of our life, but also in just this last year has been hard to walk through. We've cried a lot.
Yeah. And I think it's also just because we have three young kids that are still so dependent on us. It's made it more challenging. If we were walking through this without, our children, maybe it wouldn't be as challenging. I don't know. I think it's hard either way,
yeah.
But those are our circumstances.
Well, and these trials have been, you know, not just like we've shared in each other's sufferings together. That's for sure. And guys, I've had some moments like, I'm not a guy, I'll cry at movies. Like, because, you know, I cried at Cool Runnings. Okay, guys, this is a
true story.
True story.
He really did.
But I don't break down because of like weight very often. Like, it's too hard, or it's too difficult, or I'm too fearful, or I'm too worried. Like, that happens like once every...
You can carry a heavy load.
I can carry a heavy load. And this year, man, there was a day when we were just down, and I had...
Was this when
we
had the flu?
When we had the flu. 21 days we had the flu. I had a fever for 11 days, and it wasn't just me down. It was both of us down on top of all the kids down. Ambulance called to our house to make sure Veronica's breathing was okay. I mean, it was bad. I was in the hospital because they thought I had a pulmonary embolism. Like, it was all bad. And I remember I called my buddy and I just broke down. I'm like, dude, like that's how far we've been this year. And I just go, Lord, are you just refining us for ministry to understand what it's like to suffer? To be able to empathize with the broken. Maybe I'll tell you, that's been the result. We've been able to do that. We know what mm-hmm. it's like. So anyways, this has been a tough year. So a couple of things. The first point we made was vision, right? The vision point was we must train our wives and our families as men, as husbands, to view trials the same way Scripture views trials. Now, the second point I want to make today is under the category of order. And it's that trials reveal our inability as a husband, as a leader, as a man, to meet our wives' deepest needs. They actually reveal that we're not qualified to meet their deepest needs, and that we actually need to not take the place of Christ in these trials, which is pretty difficult for some men, especially a guy like me who wants to just be the fixer and the problem solver. And
you've gotten a lot better at that.
I have, but it's taken a lot of work. And Philippians 4:9 is a scripture that I turn to this, and it says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that's Paul's talking, and he's saying, my God shall supply your need. Like, he's going to supply the need for us to get through trials. And I have to remember that as a man, as a husband, that it's not me who's going to supply the need. Now, I have a role in this process, but it's not me. And when pain hits, it's natural to turn to each other. And I think that's an important part of the pain process, but it's not the only part of the pain process. And it's not like I think many marriages, 95% of it is turning to each other and 5% maybe to God. But it actually needs to be much more. We need to be the minimal part of that process. And we need to realize that we're incapable of actually meeting the real healing, the real perspective. And one thing I thought of earlier when I was writing the notes for this is that we're not the savior of our home. We are the pastor of our home as men. We are not the savior of our home. We are the pastor of our home. We are to be pointing our wives to Christ. We are not to be pointing her to our ideas. We're to be pointing her to the scriptures and his truth. We're not to be pointing them to confide solely in us, but to be confiding solely in God. Or not, I not say solely in God, but in God through prayer. And so Veronica has been asking me about stuff, and I'll, sharing her heart, and I'll go, hey, yeah, why don't you get back in the Word? Why don't you read this? What are you reading right now? What are you learning? Or, hey, why don't you, have you been praying? And we've been praying a lot more together, and just constantly, it's hard. Like, the guy teaching about it here, me, struggles doing this. Mm-hmm. And so we as men need to realize that it's not us. It's not our ideas. We need to point our wives towards Christ. And so those are the two scriptures that have really helped us. And that biblical perspective on trials. We need to have Job's perspective. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when you get to a mature perspective, you can not only thank God in the storm, but you can actually get to thank God for the storm. Not in a morbid way. Not like you're a masochist, you know, where you like to be trialed, like hit with things, you know, like that's not what we're talking about. But you can actually have this eternal perspective that you go, man, these trials, they're refining me. They're making us stronger as a couple. And that's important. So yeah, heavy way to end, but we're going to move over to a question section. This is something that we do. We answer a question every single episode, answer a question from people that write us these questions. And we usually do two, but some of these shows have been a little bit longer, so I've been limiting them to one because they're heavy questions. So I'll let Veronica start it off.
Yeah. And if you guys have any questions that you would like us to hit, that is, you know, generally for most married couples,
yep,
not necessarily pinpointed to one specific personal issue, go ahead and email them over at support@ultimatemarriage.com. So for this week's question, it is, what advice would you give about close friendships with the opposite sex outside of your marriage?
Okay, I'm going to let you start, even though it's not in our notes, about what our rule is. And then I'll give you kind of the backstory of our theology on that.
Yeah, so Dale and I have a rule that we are just never to be alone with the opposite sex.
It's not like a blood relative or something.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, my dad is one brother thing, or something like fine, that. Yeah, but and it's not because we don't trust each other. We totally trust each other.
Yep.
It's just to be proactive in protecting our marriage.
Yeah. And, you know, Billy Graham, I think he was famous for if there was a woman in the elevator, he would wait for the next elevator. Like, he was that proactive about protecting his marriage, his image. You know, today it's pretty easy. You know, you take a photo with a girl who's not your wife, and then all of a sudden it's turned into something else. And then there's this internet evidence of you with this girl somewhere, even though your wife's sitting over there, not in the photo. I know Kirk Cameron doesn't take a photo with any women unless there's at least two people in the photo other than him, and make sure that there's people in the background, so it doesn't look like they're in a private place. And so you just being proactive about that kind of stuff, protect your marriage.
Yeah. We actually have, friends, it's the same friends we keep talking about. We had dinner with them tonight.
Yeah.
one of them went into, took his son to the pediatrician's office. Their pediatrician happens to be a woman. And naturally, doctors just walk in the office. You know, they close the door behind him. He goes, hey, actually, do you mind just leaving that door cracked? Do you mind leaving it open? And she, you know, she didn't ask why. She was just like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, kind of weird. But he was just being proactive and protecting his marriage. And yeah. It's just something that, as a wife, is really appreciated.
Yeah, and it's very hard. And I know it's almost maybe impossible for certain people. You have meetings with certain people, but just having that heart is what you need to be having, that heart. Mm-hmm. And so I want to say a couple things. Every affair in the history of affairs begins with someone that's in a marriage having a relationship with someone else of the opposite sex. That's how every affair happens. So just know that right there is that. So is it like, are you serious? Like, really? Like, not having any relationship? Like, well, I'm just letting you know, every single affair happens that way. It's a relationship outside of marriage with the opposite sex. So don't be cavalier about it. Be very much serious about it, because that's how affairs happen. And don't ask the question, what's wrong with it? Like if you're that posture as a Christian of like, why can't we do that? Like, what's wrong with it? You know, when it comes to anything, whether it's drinking or smoking marijuana or whatever it is, what's wrong with it? If you have that posture, that's the wrong posture to have. The other posture you should have as a Christian is, will this glorify Christ? Will this make me more Christ-like? Will this honor my wife? And you're constantly looking through the lens of what will bring me closer to Jesus and his way of living. Not like, how close can I get to the canyon before I fall in? Those are the two perspectives you need to have, that exist, and that you need to have the one that's about being more like Christ. Monogamy, I think about, is not just this oneness, this one relationship is not just physical, it's spiritual, it's mental, it's emotional. And so when you're giving yourself away to another, as a man, to another woman in an emotional way, because you're sharing moments together, passing back and forth eye contact and listening of really important things that you're not doing with your wife or doing also with your wife, is just a weird thing to me. I think
it's just risky.
It's risky.
It's dangerous.
It's very intimate. You're being intimate in a relationship. So, just something to think about. Temptation arises during marital conflict. That's when it arises. Mm-hmm. When you have you have some sort of dilemma with your wife, you're not receiving what you crave, but your friend happens to be delivering that to you. That's exactly how it happens. Don't be naive to these things. A couple things that I want to mention is that nobody should have a work wife. If you are a work husband, if you have that going on, it's bad news. Get rid of it. No one should be having he's just a flirtatious personality, or she's just a flirtatious personality. People who flirt with the opposite sex and you're married, you don't love your spouse the way you need to be loving your spouse. It's not okay. And so having that kind of truth perspective is really important. And again, this is just the rule that we have. People who are much stronger than you, much wiser than you, know the scriptures more than you, have fallen. Mm-hmm. And that is a sobering reality to remember.
Yeah, and something else I'll share really quick is just that it's not that you can't have any male guy friends. I have male guy friends, but I'm also very close with their wives. Yep. And I don't text them. If I do need to contact them for any reason, I will attach their wife to the text, or yep, I'll attach Dale to the text. And I don't hang out with them one-on-one.
Yeah.
But we were at dinner with our friends tonight, and I would consider
Aaron a friend. Yeah.
But I'm not going to go out to coffee with him.
Yeah. There's no private relationship. Yeah, exactly. No,
it's all four of us that are in a relationship, yeah, is a friendship.
Good clarification. It's mm-hmm. not that you can't have any other friends of the opposite sex. It's just that you have them in a corporate manner, in a marital manner, because we're one. And so, yeah, that's one thing is that, copy your spouse on the text message train.
And all of our friends are that way too. They have respect. If Jen needed to text you for some reason, she would attach me to the text, or she would attach Aaron to the text.
Yeah. And it's not being like that she doubts any integrity in our behalf. It's just proactive.
And honestly, if I were to get a text that way that I knew was directed for Dale and I was attached to it, I wouldn't even respond to it. I just like, oh, okay. Yeah, like that's conversation over there.
Yeah. And the same thing is true. I mean, as a pastor, I'm meeting, we have young single girls in our church and I don't meet with them by myself. I meet with them with Veronica. I attach them to the text messages. If they write me an Instagram, I try to respond with Veronica attaching the Instagram message. And so we're just being proactive about that kind of stuff is very important. So that'll answer that question. It's a heavy one and a pretty common one. Let you read the memory verse for the week.
So this week's memory verse is Romans 5, 3 through 4. But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That's very encouraging.
So remember that, guys. Again, that's Romans 5, 3 through 4. We like you guys to memorize and remember just these passages of Scripture, these truths. It's important. There isn't a mature Christian out there that doesn't memorize Scripture. You need to be able to have the Scripture in your mind to call on in the moments when you need them. And you can't do that if you don't know it, if you haven't memorized it. Okay, last thing before we close up, shop. Guys, our show has continued to grow on the charts. It's still top 50, top 100, depending on the day. Podcast in the Christian category out of over 50,000 podcasts. So we just, again, thank you for that. If you guys, again, would leave a review on iTunes, that would be a huge help. Just tap the stars. And again, go to ultimatemarriage.com and you can check out our year-long marriage mentor program that opens up twice per year. And you guys can get on the wait list. If you just go to ultimatemarriage.com/notify, you can actually get on that wait list. We have 370 couples that are in our current program and we're going to open it again. And then also, if you want to check out our marriage retreats, that's on our website as well. We do marriage retreats twice a year in person up here in Oregon. Those are really fun. And then again, you can see all the notes of this podcast, everything that we pretty much said available for you guys just by clicking the podcast. This is episode number 8. And that's it.
Good night. Since it's almost 10 o'clock over here.
Yeah. We're recording this at 10 o'clock at night. Our kids are asleep. So again, thanks for joining us, guys. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ultimate Marriage. If you're homesick for a stronger marriage, visit our website at ultimatemarriage.com and consider enrolling in our 1-year online marriage mentor program. Also, if you're interested in learning more about building a better marriage, follow Veronica and I on social media, where each week we share tips, tricks, and lessons on building a biblical marriage.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. Last year, I heard a disturbing statistic. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Now, we can't wonder why the church is being influenced by the culture more than the culture is being influenced by the church. You see, the vast majority of Christians don't know God's word because they've never read it. We cannot live out what we do not understand. So Veronica and I want to challenge you right now to read the Bible in 1 year. We put together a basic 365-day reading plan that'll take you no longer than 20 minutes per day, and you can download it for free at ultimatemarriage.com/Bible. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com/Bible. Now, let's dive back into the show.